Yes, we need to. I didn't realize that so many of the, we just blend right in with the rest of society. Isn't that great? So if you're interested in joining on the conference line every Monday morning at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time for 1 hour. Table display, we have table display out there. You're welcome to sign up for the newsletter. If you have an email address, we'll send it to you in email and pick up the prayer cards. And I think that was it. Okay.
All right. Any questions about them?
Can we get a consensus of the single one thing we could do to witness to your family? The single one thing that would help out the most.
Prayer. If you know the people, you don't have to know the names, but it's nice to, when you know that people were praying for you.
As you go past houses, as you're driving down the road, going past Amish houses, just pray over the houses. Just pray as you're going.
The question was asked, how do we reach people? You will recognize that opportunity when it comes. I don't think it's something you can force feed. It's like they talked about fishing. When the bobber starts to move, you'll know there's a fish there.
Yeah. Another question?
Will you all agree that you all consider yourself Amish the rest of your life? I figured as much. Those are your people. And I want to say, as a pastor, and I have former Amish in the church I pastor, many of you that have been shunned, you've gone through what Jesus said, many will have to forsake their mother and forsake their father and forsake all and follow me. And my hat is off to you. I commend you for that step that you've taken, and God will bless you for it. And my heart goes out to you. And I have a younger couple that look at my wife and I as their mother and father, a former Amish couple. And we are just, I thank the Lord to have that position. And if I could ever be a father figure to any of you, you just let me know. I'd love to take on that role.
Thank you. I think that there's a lot of Amish that leave, especially maybe the young people, the teenagers that leave because of rebellion, that don't want anything to do with the Amish name, but they want away from it. But the way I look at it is, the reality is, we can't run away from who we are. We are who we are. We are moving on in life. We make changes. But I am 100% comfortable being called Amish. I'm called Amish, ex-Amish, former Amish on a regular basis, and either label's fine with me.
I have lots of questions. But I won't ask them today. I'll be in touch with many of you. I just want to make a comment. I want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for all of you being here, for your convictions to your faith, and for sharing that faith with us today and yesterday. It has been an absolute joy for myself, and I think I speak for my friend Jean here with me as well. We made the 10.5-hour drive in from Wisconsin, and it has been worth every single minute and every single mile. Thank you very much for allowing us to be a part of this conference.
Amen. Thank you for coming.
I'm a job developer in a mental health agency, and I'm aware that I'm always interested in why people do what they do as far as employment. So I know there's a former doctor, a Wycliffe Bible translator, and just a variety of different occupations. And I'm wondering how soon you knew that you were going to do something more related to your education.
Good question. You answer it. How'd you become a musician?
Oh, I was a musician long before I left the Amish, in my heart. But I would play the fiddle at night, and Mama here didn't think it was a good idea, but anyway. I just wanted to address something. You were talking about Amish, former Amish. Would it shock you if I told you we attend an Amish church? A lot of people ask me, are you Amish? I said, yes, I am Amish. And the church we attend is an Amish church, not an old order Amish church. There's a vast difference. What happened back in the latter part of the 1800s is there was a split in the Amish church. they were Amish Mennonite up to that point, that and they had ministers' conferences, Dino Versammlung, up to that point. Then they had to split, and it split three ways. I'll try to get it up here closer. It split three ways, and what happened is that the old order broke off from the main body and became the old order. And the other faction, there were two other factions. One faction was in Illinois. My father knows of them. I don't. The other faction was the church we attend, and it became the Conservative Amish Mennonite Church. They dropped the Amish name. It dropped the Conservative. It's now the Conservative Conference Churches, okay? From there was another break off from there, and there's a lot of history behind that, but I won't get into that. But the church we attend, about a third of the people there speak Deutsch. They speak German, the Amish. There's a lot of youth that come. They're looking for something. They're looking for a place. They know they want something different. They don't want what they have. So they end up coming to church and they hear the gospel. And many of them, the testimonies are really not what you would expect to hear. But in other words, you can tell that their teaching in Scripture is very limited. They know they want something different. They know they want to give their heart to God. That's the main thing. That's where you start. You're born again. And then from there, we're not born adults. We're born children. And some of these children need a lot of mentoring. They get the mentoring here in our church. We started out as a storefront church about 40 years ago. And the pastor, his name is Shetler. Whereas we had a Shetler here. I think one of the guys right on the end there. He pastored the church, and now his son is also pastoring there. And he's had a lot of input. So if anybody asks you, do all the Amish drive horse and buggy? No, they don't. The older sect does, but not all of them. So I just wanted to put that into your minds so that when somebody asks you, do you know anybody Amish? You probably do and didn't even realize it because of the background. Anyway.
Amen.
Well, this is more of a comment than a question. I guess when I look up there, I see a whole bunch of not English, not Amish, not ex-Amish. I see a bunch of Christians. Yeah. Saved souls, brought out of captivity, and it's just delightful to see people in the kingdom.
Amen.
Recently, in the Bern area, there's a pastor contacted us, one of the pastors in the Bern area, and there was a pastor from Germany there that wanted to meet an Amish that had left the Amish. So he contacted my wife and I, and we met with him. And he said, there was a time, I never knew this, but this is what he said. There was a time when the Amish people evangelized Germany. But we've fallen so much. We've fallen away from the grace of God and gone into works. And God is changing that. God is starting to change that again. And we've heard it again, time and time again, where God is starting to move and stir up and bring us back to where he wants us. Not only the Amish, but everybody. And the secret is about evangelizing the Amish. Come in humility, because they can recognize arrogance or a holier-than-thou attitude. And I'm not talking about a false humility. I'm talking about a real humility that comes from God. And the Bible says, "See, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
Amen. All right. Somebody asked the question, how do we get into the occupation that we are? I'd like to pick out two people. We got a doctor right here. Tell us how you got into your occupation.
Well, when I was in grade school, I had the idea that I wanted to go on to become a doctor. And I knew that I probably wouldn't do that or couldn't do that as an Amishman. So I never did join the Amish church. I left before I joined, but I was raised Amish. And when I went to, I attended a one-room school, which was a public school, but with only one family there that was not Amish. And then after I graduated from primary school, I went on to high school, and at that point I attended a Mennonite church.
Amen. All right. One of you young former Amish people that obviously maybe just left recently, now that you've left, what do you see in your life ahead, or does anybody want to respond?
Well, we left 3 years ago, me and my wife. I'm not exactly sure. I know that I'm on a mission for God, and I'm going to reach lost souls, and that's my goal. Amen. For my future.
Amen. Praise God.
I left a year and a half ago, and my wife left almost 2 years ago. But I always had this passion for, when I was Amish, just before I knew God and everything, to be in law enforcement, for one. And I'm currently running for sheriff in my county where my people live. And thank you. But I didn't do it on my own. I prayed about it because it takes a lot of courage to be able to face your people, especially your dad. And I just want to ask one thing from you guys and all here is to pray for me, that I could take this for God's glory and not for mine. Because I have no idea what God's got in mind for me, but I've been convicted to be here in this conference, that it just wants to make me reach out to my people so much more. And I've tried the last year and a half, and I won't quit. I'll continue trying. So I just ask you to pray for me and my wife and my family, and I just thank you all for being here too.
All right, another question? Anybody up here?
I have something to share. A couple weeks ago, I was at my mom's house, and I seen this book, and it says, The Family of Jogi Joe and Emma Wangert Miller, and that is my grandparents. So I asked them about it, but they didn't really give me an answer. And then when I came here, it was on that table down there. And I asked Joe about it, and he's like, well, you can't really have that book, but he can take it home and you know, if I bring it back. So last night, I took it home, and I was reading through here till about 2 o'clock in the morning. Most of the people that are in here, I know, my cousins and uncles, and now I don't really know the, you know, like their children. But it's me and one of my cousins, I'm not sure if it's a daughter or son, are the only ones that are not Amish in here. So it was really interesting because a lot of the things that went on even after I had left, this was written in 2004. So I left in 87. So between that time, I didn't really find out about a lot of things. And it was just so interesting, and I still feel like I am part of the family. So, amen. Yes, I do believe that Amish is going to stick with me.
I guess I have a question. Our friends in Pennsylvania, we said to them, what is the difference between you and the people who don't know Jesus? You know, what is the difference? And they said, fundamental difference is relationship. They have relationship with Jesus, whereas the rest of the people don't. Would you agree that would be the main difference between Amish that are born again and Amish that aren't? It's just relationship with Christ.
Who wants to answer that? Okay, was your question... Who said they have the relationship? Okay. That's right. Amen. 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 Absolutely.
That first time that you contacted someone that said, hey, I want to leave the Amish. I'm sure it was very difficult to come to that point, but then you contacted Joe or someone else and arranged for someone to come pick you up, and sounds like most of the time in the middle of the night, because that's the time that you could get away. When you get into the vehicle with that person, what is it you're looking for right then? You know, what kind of help are you looking for? What is it that you want from that first contact that you have as soon as you leave?
That's a good question. Number one, I was scared to death. 30 years old, and I shook like a little 5-year-old child, scared or whatever. But I had talked to Joe Keim previously for 4 to 5 months prior to that, and that helped a lot, and he kept saying, I said, can I get a job up there? He said, yeah, that's not a problem. And I had all these things in my mind of what we were not allowed to do as far as dreams that I had growing up Amish that I could do. And so when I got out into what we so-called the world, it was overwhelming because I could get into anything I wanted. I could be a doctor if I wanted to. I could be a lawyer. I could be a cop. I could be whatever. I had all these things. And I remember that night driving with John Yoder, who picked me up. And he said, what are you going to do when you get out? I said, I don't know. I said, but there's two dreams I always had. And it was be a orthopedic doctor, because I was a framer, and that's reconstructing bones. Or be in law enforcement. I don't know. I said, I mean, I know you're questioning what you're saying, but it's hard to explain because the doors just open up and the floodwaters just come out. You have so much opportunity. You just don't know. You just have to take day by day.
I want to go back to that last question. Did you feel like you got an answer on the former Amish, the born-again Amish and the one that isn't born again? Okay, well, I guess if I understood the question correctly, you're talking about the born-again that stays Amish and the ones that are Amish and aren't born again. And I think the big difference there is the born-again doesn't trust in his works and in the legalistic system to get him to heaven versus the born-again is trusting in Christ alone.
Amen. That's good.
In my own personal experience, this has been 43 years ago, when I met the Lord, I was dressed Amish. I had a horse and buggy. And this is personal. This might not be for others, but this was personal to me. God began to put his finger on the things that I had trusted in him, trusted in outside of him. My hat. I threw my hat out the window when I was on my way to Phoenix, Arizona. Eventually my clothes. Things that and it's very uncomfortable to having to wear Amish clothes all your life and put on so-called worldly clothes. But it's God's doings in my life. I had to take those things that I trusted in, that I had, that the foundation that was not Jesus Christ, I had to forsake those, and it took time. And I had to get rid of those things that I had trusted in. And even to the point of the language, I had to get rid of, I wouldn't do it now, but back then I even had to get rid of my German New Testament and the prayer books, because I had trusted in so much in the language. And so I had to get rid of it. But now, you know, I have a German Bible. But the things that you trusted in outside of Christ, I had to let go. And that's it doesn't happen overnight. And I'm sure people can testify to that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I would just like to answer your question a little bit about when someone's coming out of the Amish. We recently, it's been a little less than 12 months ago when we come out, and I would say that if you meet up with someone like that, that just ask them what they need. Ask them, you know, we ourselves didn't know what we needed. And when the question was prompted to us, because we come from a culture that does not have to think for itself, it prompted us to think, well, what do we need? You know, and at first it was uncomfortable when a question was asked, but when I actually, and I think my wife can agree with me, when we actually started saying what we need and realizing that people sincerely wanted to help us, we started seeing the blessing that the Lord just poured into us. And I think Joe can vouch too, it's prayer. God will tell you, if you pray, God will tell you what these people need. And we also, I had a real close friend, I shouldn't say a real close friend, but it was a friend, and he would just pray with me, and he wouldn't pray over me, or he would just pray with me. You know, it was encouraging, and encouragement is a big thing, because of all the legalism, I tend to reject everything I run up against. So encouragement is not rejection. Encouragement is, you know, you can do this. This is, you know, that was huge in our testimonies. Just encouragement and ask questions. Just we will answer. I mean, normally. So.
Yeah. I'll see if I can state this question clearly. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Being raised in something like an Amish culture where it is so much part of you, once you were out, did you find that there were feelings or issues or whatever that kept being a problem for you, where you kept having to wrestle with recurrent thoughts or, you know, wanting to go back or something like that?
When I first left home, I had already had two older brothers that had left home. And when I left home, I thought that there would always be a time that I would go back. But I think the majority of that fear was originated in my heart from the belief that once I leave home, if I die or pass away non-Amish, that there's basically no hope for me at all. And so with that fear instilled within me, I always told myself that, you know, after a few years I'll go back. But after my brother had shared with me the gospel, it was really a hard choice for me to make. Like I've heard before, is we didn't think for ourselves, so I had to make a choice. I had what I learned growing up for 18 years, balance it versus what my older brother showed with me from the scriptures, what the Bible had to say about a relationship with the Lord and about going to heaven or going to hell. What was important was my parents taught me that the Bible was the Word of God, so I had to weigh that in comparison to what I grew up knowing. So when I did accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, shortly thereafter, actually I started growing in the Lord because my brother had picked up a set of Sunlight Club lessons, and even though I was 18, they were exactly what I needed to grow and learn and understand some more things about the Bible. And after that had taken place, I had no thought or whatsoever of ever going back, because that need was taken care of when I had the assurance of Christ's salvation. So I didn't really struggle with it. I was a little bit lonely some for my family, but what I didn't have in my physical family, it was made up by the church family that I was associated with.
I don't know if this is really to that question, but something that came to mind was when somebody does come out of the Amish or they start asking questions, you have to remember they know very little about grace. I mean, they know very little about the Bible. You just feed them milk. I mean, they're just babies. You can't give them raw meat. You just feed them milk from the Bible.
Yeah, about the question earlier, when you leave, what do you want most? I think for a lot of us, it's freedom, probably, that we would sacrifice, you know, peace with our family just for freedom. And a lot of us, when we come out and we have friends that are older or from the outside world, they see, you know, maybe we don't have manners or other stuff that we need to learn, and they immediately want to fix us. And that's when you burn the bridge with a lot of us young people who leave. So I guess the biggest thing, if you want to help us, is do what you can and let us fall on our face. Biggest thing, probably.
Amen.
I believe it's probably fair to say that everyone's experiences is varied as the group you see up here. The biggest challenge for me was the disappointment that my mother had in me leaving. The day that I really found peace was the day that I saw motorhome, in front of the motorhome was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. When I went home and looked to see what that said is when I no longer experienced the guilt that I was going to hell. Mm-hmm. Praise
God. Some of the experience that I had leaving home was my mother had spent some time in a mental hospital. She was a very loving mother. And I had to decide, I never joined, but I had to decide, how will I hurt my mother? And the Lord told me, you follow me and I'll take care of your mom. And I didn't know how this would work, but several years down the road, my mother was on her deathbed. She said, I'm lost, I'm lost. And the bishop came and he said, well, you've been a good member. And this is a long story, I'll make it short. But one of my brothers went to her and had her put her name in it. Katie Hirschberger believes, John 3:16. If Katie Hirschberger believes in Jesus, Katie Hirschberger will not perish but have everlasting life. Well, she said, yeah, that's good, but I'm not good enough. And so we had prayer in our home and through the night. And that night she slept all the way through. My dad said she usually had to have her back propped up because of breathing. The next day we met and she said, I have peace.
Amen.
That evil one is gone. And then she asked us as a family, some were still Amish, to sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. A couple weeks later, she saw Jesus at the foot of her bed. And she said to my dad, you see Jesus? And he said, no, I don't see him. She said, oh, if I could sit up, I could touch him. He's coming for me. He's going to take me home. And you can't even see him. And about 2 weeks later, she was gone, but she had asked to be dressed in white for the funeral. And so that was a tradition. Our family agreed, Amish, Mennonite, and Church of God. Anyway, it doesn't really matter because it was Jesus we were talking about. And so she was buried in white. A couple weeks later, my dad now saw what the power of the gospel could do. He met with some new Christian, Amish Christians who had a Bible study. And he was still kind of arrogant, and he said, I want to go see what those, I can say it in Dutch better, but rotsnaziki, what those snot noses are talking about. And he went back and back. And finally the bishop came and said, Manasse, my dad's name, these Bible studies are killing the church. They're tearing it apart. And my dad, who was a strict Amish up till then, said, well, if Bible study tears it apart, it should be torn apart.
Yeah. Amen.
And I could talk on and on. My whole family came to Jesus. and they're all gone but me. I look forward to seeing them. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's been a wonderful journey. It's been rough. I know what it's like to suffer, but it never really bothered me. I'll just give you one incident, if I may. One day I was telling my dad about Jesus before this happened. He said, "Shut up." I said, "Dad, I can't. It's too wonderful." And the next thing I knew, I was laying on the ground. But I remember yet when he hit me, I wanted to put my arms around him and hug him. That wasn't me. I had school fights in school and usually won. But that day, it was the love of Jesus. And I tell you, Jesus makes all the difference, and I'm not scared to go anywhere as long as he's with me.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Love you.
Just real quick here, the last question of what we hold on to is, when I first left, Joe told me that it takes, a statistic show it takes about 3 years for a mind to change, or however he worded that, if you guys know what I'm talking about. Well, I sat there and I told him, I said, "I'll tell you, do it in 1 year." And I didn't really know what he's talking about, but I was going to try to prove a point. I can do it in 1 year. It's been more than a year and I'm still struggling sometimes. But one thing that come to my mind was when I talked to my wife over the phone before I met her, I even asked her to marry me before we even physically met. But I would call my friend back home in Indiana and I would tell her everything what's going on between me and Polly. And she says, "Marry her." I said, "I can't." She says, "Why not?" I said, "Because I got to date her for at least 6 months to a year." She says, "Why?" I said, "Because it's the way I was brought up. I have to." She says, "No, you don't. You're free from the law." And that's when I realized, as long as we have a relationship and it's all towards God, anything can be possible.
I'm sorry. When you're talking about like some of the, being a new creature or whatever, some of the things we hang on to, I know for me, getting rid of those clothes was a hard thing. Even though I know up here it's not wrong, it was something you'd grown up with, and there was that fear of running into someone who knows me and they're going to tell my parents, that kind of thing. But it was a process. I mean, eventually you get to the point where that knowledge moves to the heart and you get free.
Yes, sir.
I'm assuming that most of you, being former Amish and being here, are saved. And otherwise, you probably wouldn't be standing up in front of us. How many of you have family members that have left Amish that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And then, how do you go about reaching them?
Something comes to my mind. I had a lot of zeal and not enough knowledge in those early days. And there was one of my schoolmates I talked to about Jesus, and he had strange beliefs about being on a diet. And I just read about the Antichrist in 1 John. So I said, "Well, I don't know. You sound like an Antichrist to me." And a couple of months down the road, down near Berlin, Ohio, he was testifying in a camp meeting how that is what brought him to the Lord. All I can say is, my experience has been, when I have thought I had a down pat, it usually didn't work out. But when the Holy Spirit was leading, then things happened.
Amen. Amen. Good answer. We got one more question in the back.
Oh yeah. Thank you for letting me have that. And it's not a question either. All you folks up there, since my wife and I have lived in a community where there has been a settlement for 30 years, and one thing I've learned, regardless of a buggy and a horse, you folks get more places than the English ever did. You know, and I know you have relatives everywhere, okay? And since this is the last chance to address you all as a group, My wife and I want to extend an invitation to anybody up there who is ever in Western New York. You can stay at our house. I don't care if you're coming to visit a relative or even want to go see Niagara Falls. If you just want to come and get away, our house is open to you. We have lots of bedrooms with lots of kids who have gotten married and moved out. And we'll be back here if anybody just wants to get an address or something. We'd love to have you. Thank you.
He's going to go home and do something with it, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That are actually going to do something.
Yes. What I would like to do... What I would like to do now is for those, particularly Vernon, where's Vernon at? Vernon, would you come out? And we want to take this opportunity just to come gather around Vernon. And Pastor Jeff, I saw you walked in. Maybe you could come up with, we were going to have you come up earlier and then you had to leave or something. Do you want to share a little bit about the project? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? If you want to go get a seat, you can. It will be real short here, but and then we'll gather around. Vernon and anyone else that is feeling or being open to going into a ministry, doesn't mean you have to even go full time, but would like to be prayed for, then I wish you would come up and we would pray over you.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Jeff, and you may have seen me out at the table out there, and it looks like I'm selling something. I'm actually not, but hopefully many of you have seen these. If you haven't gotten one, please stop by and just pick one up. They're free. This is actually a publication that the Gideons are supporting and working with. It's called The Life Book, and you can go online, thelifebook.com, and find out more information about this. But this was their answer to get back into the public high schools. They've been kicked out of there and were not able to go in there for a number of years. And there's another company, as I understand it, there was another company producing this and were about to go under. They just didn't have the funding. The Gideons found this and loved the idea, realized this was a ticket back into the public schools, and are basically keeping this company completely afloat at this time. They are the sole purchaser of these books. And if you go to lifebook.com, you, as a pastor or youth pastor, they will send you, I think, up to 1,500 of these for free, and they'll just show up at your door. So take advantage of that, but it is for pastors, and then it's to be used by the youth groups to get them into the schools there. And so they ask that you just pick a week, and then you have your young people go out there, and they have videos online of how they have it all set out to work, and it's just offered as a gift. If they don't want it, they don't take it. You find somebody else to give it to them. But this is a seed for me in giving an idea. It's the Gospel of John. And you probably can't see it from where you are. That's why you can go take one. But there's some handwriting in there. And what they had was four teenagers read through the Gospel of John. And just when a verse struck them, they made a note. There's nothing, it's not a commentary. They just wrote a sentence or a couple lines or something like this. And every once in a while, there's a Gideon who actually read through this and jotted some notes down too. And I thought, this is great for a 21st century young person, internet savvy, you know, phone savvy, everything else. But what about for an Amish person? What about making a version of this available to an Amish that they could relate to? And so that is my goal at this time, and trying to get something like this to them. And so my project right now is to take you heard diglot before. I might be the only one in the room who knows what that is, I'm not sure, but make a polyglot, have multiple versions next to each other. So take the Martin Luther Bible of the Gospel of John next to a King James Bible of the Gospel of John. I'm working on trying to get permission for the Pennsylvania Dutch version, and then have some former Amish, and if you'd like to try to participate, I can't take everybody, but you know, I have a sign-up sheet out there. You can jot your email address down, and I can go back and forth with you. But reading through and finding verses that maybe that really spoke to you, or you realized as you read across, and the reason for the three versions is this, as you read it, you can read that High German, probably pull some verses, words out of there, and you think you gain some semblance of an understanding there. You read the King James, read the Pennsylvania Dutch, realize these three agree, but it is not what my church told me. It disagrees with that. In light of Ephesians 6, I think you mentioned one, you know, children, obey your parents, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And imagine being able to write in the side margin there, and don't forget the promise. This is the first commandment with a promise. And all of a sudden that Amish young person reads that and thinks, wait a minute, that's not what I've been taught. Now the wheels are turning. And so that's what I'm hoping to do, and I really need your help to do it. I'm not Amish. I have no. Some of you surprise me. You come up here and you're former Amish, and I'm like, really? You're very sneaky. So it just surprised me. So, you know, some is easy, and everybody's different, and it's great. But be able to have a handful of people to come in there and just jot those notes down through there. And then I'm working on permissions, and the bottom of what I have there is taking some textual references, textual notes out of the Life Application Bible, just from you come across a word, maybe in the King James, that you don't necessarily understand. The Life Application Bible puts some more modern equivalents on the bottom that you can kind of do a quick drop down. Oh, okay, I get it. And go back to reading, just help clarify things. And then our church does something with Kids for Truth. I don't think I've run into anybody that's heard of that before, but it's like an Awana program. Okay, Melvin. It's like Awana, and they have something called Big Christian Words. And what it is a list of words that the kids are memorizing as part of the lessons and that they use. And it just is, what is grace? What is mercy? What is propitiation? And putting basically a mini dictionary on a very elementary level, something simple. And so that when words come up, either they happen to read in their Bible or they happen to have come across in a conversation, they can turn to the back of the book, find that, get a easy working definition of that word, and then start putting things together and start thinking. And so hopefully making it small, probably a different color, so that they can hide it, they can put it in the floorboards or wherever, the wall, under the seat cushion, and it's not like, here I am, you know, so mom and dad don't find it right away, and small and cheap enough that if and when it does get found and burned and destroyed, we can give them another one, and we can keep doing that over and over and over again. So I just want to make this available, and so we're working on it, and hopefully when it's ready, I can let people know, maps know, and hopefully people will be able to purchase those like a track and then be able to give them out. And so we just want to try to make it and use it as an evangelistic tool, and hope God will use it. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm actually really excited about the project. If you're former Amish, you really need to put your email address out there on the sign-up list so that Pastor Jeff can get with you. And I don't know that we want to stick with the Gospel of John, but scriptures that opened up to you and became light to you, and you made a note in your margins, and we want to put that in there. That will be tremendous. Somebody may say, well, that's going to cost something. Well, how can I get it up and going? So we would definitely need someone to help us out with that too. All right. Now we're going to, can we bring a chair down here? Is there anyone else that would Uriah, do you want to join Vernon? Uriah came back to Ohio after being here a year and going back to Wisconsin, then coming back, feeling that God is leading him to be part of MAP. He has been working 2 days a week at MAP, has done a tremendous job. All those tracks that you see out there, that's all his work. He did a good job. I mean, printing and, you know, working on it, sitting up here till wee hours in the morning and weekends, and learning the program, putting his heart into it, but thinking more and more that maybe God wants him to go full time, and so he wants prayed over. And anyone else, you guys can sit down here if you want, and let's just all stand. This will be our last little get together. I tell you what, we'll just come down here, and let me see everybody just kind of come down, gather around, and someone should pray for Vernon, and then someone could pray for Uriah, and then I would like to pray over all of you as you travel home. Can we do that? Okay. Let's just gather around, and who would like to pray? How about a pastor? Pastor, you want to come down and pray? And I'm looking at several pastors, am I? You're not a pastor? Yes. Pastor Andrew, why don't you pray for Uriah?
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We're thankful for this young man, Uriah. Your hand has been upon him. Dear Lord, you've brought him from darkness into your marvelous light. And we're rejoicing in the goodness of God, rejoicing in the drawing power of Jesus in these last days, and we're praying, Lord, that as you've set your mark upon this young man, we pray, Lord, that you'd bless him and continue to shine light on his pathway. Continue to give him courage to walk in the light as thou art in the light, Lord Jesus. Continue to give him fellowship with God above. Direct his steps, we pray. Let the Holy Spirit guide him in everything he says, in everything he does. Dear Lord, open doors, we pray. Let your grace rest upon him. Continue to guide him and direct him, Lord. And Father, we're praying that Jesus would use this young man. Father, make him as one of Samson's foxes to set the countryside on fire for God and for the kingdom of heaven. Let your grace be sufficient, dear Lord, we ask. And Father, we humbly bow before you and commit this young man to the grace of God for your glory and eternal honor. And now we pray these things again in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.
Who'd like to pray?
Father, we just come before you. I thank you for Vernon. I bind his mind to the mind of Christ. And Father, I thank you for the renewing of this mind. So God, I pray strength and wisdom and power and anointing. Father, that he would know that he knows that he knows your plan. And Lord, that each step would be very clear as to what this step would be. God, I pray a hedge of protection around him, around his family, around, Lord, everyone he comes in contact. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over him, and I speak life and strength into and through him. Father, that there be a transformation to those that he touches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, I just want to thank you for these 2 days. Our lives have been changed forever and ever and ever. We have had fellowship together. We have been encouraged. We have learned. And, oh God, I pray that you would help us to go back to our communities and put into action that which you have spoken to us. I pray that the devil would not be allowed to interfere. I pray that no one would be able to put any obstacles in the path of God's leading. And I pray, Spirit of God, that you would come upon us and that you would lead us and protect us and guide us and help us to know what to say and when to say it and who to talk to. Lord, we're just a pile of clay. That's it, just clay. But we're looking toward heaven where our power and strength and wisdom comes from. And our desire is for us, for you to help us to let go of ourselves and just yield ourselves completely to you. Lord, help us to be connected with Amish people and former Amish people and Mexicans and for Jewish people and for Muslims and for people that are very religious and sincere. I pray wherever we go, Lord, you would help us to take what we learned and reach those people with the gospel. Bless everyone as they go. Protect them as they drive. Help them to have a wonderful way home. And we give you all the glory. You alone deserve every bit of the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow. Praise God. Amen. Love you guys so much. I mean, you're like my family now. You can't go home. Yeah. Amen.